few words before we get back into Galatians. Probably just a few. Who knows? I'm convinced that we live in the end times. If you read the scriptures, in fact, that term, end times, was applied ever since the time the Lord left. But we approach, no doubt, closer and closer the culmination of things. I don't claim to be a prophet. I don't claim to be the son of a prophet. I don't understand all things. But I do have the scriptures. And I know they're faithful and true. And I know God's going to accomplish His decreed will. And I may not quite understand everything or be able to explain everything, but there's some things that seem to be abundantly clear. And I believe that preachers have an obligation, like the watchman on the wall, to declare, thus saith the Lord, and the warnings of the Lord, and what is coming. And so I'm going to mention a few things about, you could call them current events, if you will, but I think they can be the unfolding of prophecy. I don't want you to be able to go and say, well, nobody ever said anything to me. Well, I'm going to say something to you. I don't claim to be infallible, but you should consider these things. And in the context of that, and I'll touch on some other things a little bit, but in the context of that, maybe some of you saw or heard about a video that the man in the White House released on his social media this week. And it had to do with, you know, his desires and intentions of cleansing Gaza and rebuilding it. And within that video, this is Trump himself released it on his social media. I don't know who made the video. But within that video, you know, Gaza is like the promised land. And there's one image in there of Trump, of a statue of Trump, a huge, gigantic statue. You could call it an idol, I guess. Golden statue of Trump. You know, that made me think of a fella called Nebuchadnezzar. Made me think of a few other things. We should be warned. I understand folks are excited that, you know, the last regime that was terrible is gone. That doesn't mean this one's ordained of God. Well, it is. Everything's ordained of God. But it doesn't mean that this one has the blessing of God upon it. That video was very disturbing in many ways. And as well in the context, I've heard it spoken of, and I can't say that he's directly supported it yet, but that Trump is, you know, kind of behind the rebuilding of the temple. And I do know that the man he that chose to be his Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, said some very positive things in the past about rebuilding the temple. Well, we know prophetically in Scripture that's going to happen. And the Antichrist is going to reveal himself. But I wonder, a man that can depict himself as some giant golden statue or idol, and what if he actually helps rebuild the temple? I don't see it beyond that he go and sit in there and declare himself to be the God of the temple. Couple verses to keep in mind and beware. Folks, just beware. Pay attention. Don't believe what you hear on the television. I mean, again, obviously I'm not a Trumpster, but I heard on the nightly news the other night, they didn't say that Trump called, what's his name?
Zelensky,
you know, that little pervert from Romania. They didn't say that Trump called him a dictator, but they said on supposedly the news, they says he falsely called him a dictator. I mean, where does that come from? How do they distinguish that? That the news will color these things and twist these. And you got to be careful. Everything you hear on the television, every bit of it, is meant to brainwash you. You know, Zelensky, and I don't want to get off into all political things, but Zelensky is a dictator. He was duly elected once, and then he called off all subsequent elections. You know, this commentator said, he was democratically elected. Yeah, he was once. So was Hitler. One man, one vote, one time. He canceled what were supposed to be the oncoming elections, and he is now serving in whatever capacity, not as an elected president of Romania. That's their business.
Ukraine.
But I don't know how you can say it's wrong to call him a dictator. He's set himself in a position. He's refused to allow anybody to oppose him. He's even persecuted the churches, particularly the Orthodox churches in his area, because some of them he thought might have contacts with Russia. Beware! Beware! Don't get so involved and up to your shoulders and up to your neck with these politicians. Some of them might be a little better than others. I don't know. But I'm troubled at a man that can depict him, that wants to clear off the Gaza, depicts himself. You can look it up if you haven't seen it. You can find the video. He's got a giant golden statue of himself. Some little boy carrying a balloon, a golden balloon, with his face. Him and Netanyahu lounging on the Riviera of what's the Gaza now. And on and on. It's dangerous. And a man that can do that, I could see doing, I read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." You know, some folks had said the day of Christ had already passed, Christ had already come, we missed it. Or said, Paul said, don't you get troubled by these things. Some things are going to happen first. And I think we see some of those things that he says are going to happen first, unfolding, perhaps, in our time. Paul said in verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first." And I know some folks try to say that's speaking of a rapture. They have to stretch to do that. The falling away is of Christianity and a professed belief. Paul says there's going to be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Antichrist is going to be revealed. I know most of us grew up in churches that told us we're going to be raptured out. We're not going to have to face any of that stuff. I don't think the scriptures teach that. I hope those folks are right. I hope I get raptured out. I don't have to deal with the Antichrist and his persecutions. But I don't think that's what the scriptures teach. You think Christians don't ever... John the Baptist had his head cut off. Our Baptist forebears were persecuted unto death. They were sawed asunder. They were drowned. They were burned. But we're special. We're not going to ever suffer. Don't count on it. God's grace will be sufficient. God will give us the necessary grace when the time comes. I know a lot of times we think, I couldn't bear that. I couldn't deal with that. But God will give you grace when the time comes to deal with that. I say, I couldn't deal with that now. No, you couldn't. But God can always deal with it. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And then specifically here, and Daniel talks about it as well, how's that revelation? Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, and that is worshipped. So that as God sitteth in the temple, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Antichrist is going to sit in the temple of God to restore temple. I believe the scriptures say those things. They teach those things. If the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. I'm not saying it's going to be rebuilt today, but the way things are moving now, you better be prepared. You better be awake. You better be careful about who you follow and what you receive and what you embrace. You better check it all out. You better check out whatever I say. But beware. Be awake. A couple other things. And if these seem off topic again, I don't want you to say, well, nobody ever said anything to me. Well, I'm saying something to you. You know, Trump's right-hand man, or else Trump is the right-hand man, I don't know. You know, advocates transhumanism, which is that he wants to involve robotics and humanism and electronics with humans and make hybrids. Part of that's his plan to go to Mars. He's already embraced this stuff. And I'm talking about that fella named Musk. Well, I'm going to touch a little bit on it because I think there's some things you should know here. Does anybody know Musk's background? His grandpa was part of an organization called Technocracy. And he pushed and advanced the rule of technocrats over politicians. His grandpa, who was born in the U.S. and migrated to Canada and eventually took his family to South Africa, which, you know, Musk says he's a South African, but really his family roots trace back to Canada and to the U.S. And his grandpa was a part of this technocracy movement, and they want to be able to implant you, make you part human, part robotics, part digital. Listen to them. I'm not making this up. I'm not a scientist. I can't explain. But that's what they have in mind. And most of these world leaders and rulers are falling. And Musk was a big pusher and is a big pusher of this stuff. And it's all the way back to his grandpa. And they want that. You know, make things easy to help control immigration, help control the runaway government spending and all. Well, they'll implant people with the little chips so that they can keep track of stuff. They'll make sure, you know, that things aren't being wasted. Well, I don't like things being wasted. I think half of the people that are in government probably should be on the gallows. But that's not the point. They want to be able to control you. They want to be able to control me. And they'll use all these things as an excuse. They'll say, well, you just need to take this little chip, and it's going to help solve, you know, all these problems with finances. It's going to help solve all these problems with illegal immigration. It's going to address all that stuff. You won't even have to worry about it anymore. Well, you better worry about it. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. A mark, a chip. A lot of the modern versions, they try to quote correct, you know, the King James, so they'll say, to receive a mark on their right hand. No, they got it right when they interpreted God's preserved word in 1611 in their right hand and in their forehead. Don't say nobody ever talked. Listen, God's elect will be protected. They'll stand strong. Folks say, well, I'm worried I might get that. I might accept that kid. If you're one of God's elect, you won't. And if you do, you won't care. Because you're not one of His elect. But you should know, because we still have to know. We have to resist. We have to stand. We have to walk. And we have to endure. We have to resist. By the grace of God, we do it, and we will do it. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell. You just think, well, how could that happen? I mean, so I go to somebody and I've got cash. I say, here, sell me that stuff. No, you're not going to have cash. It's going to all be digital. They don't protect you. So nobody can steal from you anymore because it's all in your account and it's all tied to your chip. So they can't steal it from you anymore. And they can control you then. Everything. They can control whether you can buy or sell. When you used to read this when I was a kid, I said, well, that's going to be kind of hard. How are they going to do that? Now we know exactly how they're going to be able to do that. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark and the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. I'm not going to tell you exactly what that all means. People have come up with all kinds of speculation through the years. I remember one time when I was growing up, and Hubert H. Humphrey, because H is the sixth letter, I think, and yeah, God knows. And it's the number of a man, six, and as opposed to the number of God, which is seven, and threefold, and chips, scanning stuff. You know, I guess some places you can't even go to eat in a restaurant unless you got your phone and you scan a code to get the menu. That's what we're coming to. They'll be able to control you completely if they can just put a chip in you. And a lot of folks will think that's a wonderful idea, especially if it comes from those politicians that they're so excited about and that they so support and that have stood against the evil politicians that were before them. I saw some folks, you know, excusing this Gaza video and said, well, yeah, I know that, but... Yeah, but what? Beware. Beware. A couple notes on, Musk's grandfather was Joshua Haldeman. Musk's mother was a Haldeman before she married. And he pushed this technocratic movement. He was part of the technocracy movement. And they had a big sign even at one time. This one was out in Oregon. And you can't see it there, but it's the evil yin and yang sign. It's what they had for this technocracy movement. You beware when you see those. He said, well, it's just a little thing. It doesn't... Yeah, it's emblematic of dualism. It's emblematic of the equality between God and Satan. There is no equality between God and Satan. The yin and yang is evil. It's wicked. It's satanic. Anyway, they adopted that, and you see it in a lot of places. His grandfather was actually convicted in Canada for his involvement in that movement, because Canada banned that movement because, again, some things they seem to have positives, right? This movement opposed the Canadian involvement in World War II. And so because of that, Canada considered these people to be a security threat. And his grandfather was actually convicted and eventually, as part of that at least, went and moved to South Africa. I just found out some of this stuff this week. I'm not making it up. You can find it from a bunch of different sources. The one thing here I copied was actually from a fairly respectable magazine called The Business Insider. This one was back in 2023. I'm still in the other century. Forgive me. Their idea was that technology can solve all of man's ills, can solve all of the problems, will fix everything. And his grandpa was still alive when Musk was born, but Musk was like a toddler or whatever, I guess, when his grandpa passed. But still, his mother and whatever helped pass these things on. God knows these things. Beware, folks. Beware. When you see that they're determined to rebuild the temple, and when everybody's applauding when Trump's doing this, beware. And there's Christians, you know, we even grew up in churches like I did, you know, they're pre-mill, pre-whatever. They'll still be applauding that. They'll think it's a good thing. And when Trump goes in there and sits down, they'll find an excuse. I haven't found anything that he does that they don't find an excuse for. Beware. It just troubles me when people who should know better just completely sell out to politicians. Because they're not your friends. None of them. Okay. I just got a few minutes, and I won't. We're going to get back into verse 16 there in Galatians 6. Last week, I talked about the bunk of Billy Graham and his crusades and manipulation, psychological manipulation of people, you know, equating the idea of coming up forward to quote, get saved with coming to Christ. There's nothing in the scripture about that. Deceiving many. Now let me say this in the context. God can use all kinds of circumstances and all kinds of situations. I'm not saying that anybody who ever came forward in the Billy Graham crusade is not saved. I don't know that. I can't look at their heart. But I know myriads of them are not. Myriads of them who they take pledge cards from. After they came forward, they would contact local churches. Local churches would contact them. And the testimony I've seen of many is that they don't want to hear from me. They don't want to know anything else. You know, they walked down an aisle, and Billy Graham said, well, now you're saved. That's his son's still doing that on TV, if you ever watch it. Franklin, he says, say this prayer. Okay, now you're saved. How are you going to heaven? You just got to. All you ever have to do is remember that you said that prayer. No, if Christ died for you, you are His. You're one of His elect, and He will bring you to Himself. And His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not because I remember I made a decision sometime. Well, God made a decision sometime before the world was. That's the only one that matters. So beware. Beware of the false doctrines, the false teachings, the false systems. I mentioned Charles Finney, who invented this invitation system. And even the people who use it admit that it wasn't used for the first 1,800 years of the Lord's churches. It was introduced in the last couple hundred years. Well, how can that be vital to the gospel? Having an invitation and getting folks to come. And then the worst part of it, now get up here, come up forward to the altar. You know, I heard somebody use that term this week. A Baptist should know better. There's no altar up here. And altars were sacrifices made. The Catholics claim to make an unbloody sacrifice. They claim that the Mass, and they claim there's an altar up there. Altar of Satan. There's no altar up here. Christ saves those that are His. He brings those that are His to Himself. We come to Christ. He draws us. We cast ourselves off. He said, tell me exactly how to do that, preacher. I can't tell you that. God knows that. But God will draw those that are Him, His to Himself. And it won't be because they walked an aisle or signed a decision card or prayed a prayer after somebody. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We come to realize whose and what we are. It's all by the grace of God. You don't become a child of God. You were a child of God. But it's revealed in time. Christ came and died for those children. And for them alone, that song we sang today, it was kind of complicated. It's hard to sing a little bit, but it tells a great deal. Several, two of them did, really. God's election. Okay, verse 16. As Paul continues to wrap up his letter here to the Galatians. In verse 16, he said, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. And as many as walk according to this rule. Again, Paul's made the point throughout this epistle. Salvation is by the grace of God alone. It's by the faith that's given by the Holy Spirit to the children of God by which they embrace that thing. The truth is that justification, standing right with God, is by the righteousness of Christ alone. So, well, he's all got to do nothing. No, it doesn't. We're saved unto good works. And the very word that Paul here uses, and as many as walk according to this rule, that rule being justification by Christ alone, but they walk according to that rule. When you walk, you put one foot in front of the other. A dead man can't walk. Those that walk are the regenerated, the born again by the Spirit of God. But on our part, it will take effort. It will take labor. That's not what saves us. But as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them. It's not baptism. It's not the Lord's Supper. It's relying solely on Christ. As Paul in the previous verse spoke of a new creation. We're a new creature created by God the Father. You can't be walking in accordance with this until you've been created as a new creature by God the Father. Christians ought to live holy lives. And I think maybe want to finish up Galatians, and I got a bunch of other things coming up in the next several months. So we'll talk a little bit about those things. Not legalism, not a rule book, but Christians ought to live holy lives. They ought to be different. They ought to be apart. They ought to look different. They really should. They ought to be modest. Because the Bible tells me so. Christians ought to live holy lives. Oh, we do it very imperfectly. Even Paul could say, Christ came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. But it's God's grace. It's God's mercy. As many as walk according to this rule. And Lord willing, we'll go on to the subsequent part of this verse next week. Is peace be on them in mercy. Peace be on them in mercy. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you're living like the devil and that you're at peace. That's a lie. You're not going to have God's peace unless you're walking in accordance with these truths. I'm not saying you're not... I can't look at your heart. I don't know if you're saved. But don't tell me you have peace, that you're all right, because I made a decision. No. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. God's peace comes as we submit to Him. All by His grace, certainly, but as we submit to Him, as we walk. And there's nothing to surpass the peace that comes from God. And in the midst of whatever comes our way, we can have that. And it's by His grace, and by His grace alone. And I'll talk more on that, Lord willing, next week. Okay, we'll take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a concluding hymn, number 185, Depth of Mercy Can There Be? Depth of Mercy Can There Be? If you like, you can stand as we sing out this concluding hymn, order 185.
Depth of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Can my God His wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. I have long withstood His grace, long provoked Him to His face, would not hear His gracious calls, grieved Him by a thousand falls. Jesus, answer from above, is not all thy nature love? Wilt thou not the wrong forget? Lo, I fall before thy feet. Thou incline me to repent. Let me now my fall lament. Deeply my
Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the sovereign God that You are. That You chose a people in Christ. Lord, that You've made us new creatures. And Lord, by Your grace, may we walk in accordance with Your truths, in accordance with what was accomplished on our behalf by our Savior. Father, I pray that You help us to be diligent and discerning and wide awake in these difficult and trying and, yes, confusing times in which we live. But Father, we know that You rule and reign, that we can rest in Thee. And though difficulties may come, indeed our Lord told us they would come, that we would face tribulation in this world. Father, help us by Your grace to stand and to bring glory upon Thee by Your grace. Father, thank You for each one that's here. We thank You that folks that were ill or feeling somewhat better, Lord, we pray for those that face serious illnesses, cancer, and other issues, and Lord, that you might give them peace and comfort. Father, we particularly pray that you might give comfort, peace to our sister Carol, to her family, with the passing of her husband Gary. Lord, we know that you know your people. You know those that are yours. Father, we pray that you give comfort to all of that family. That you give them peace, that you might guide Carol in the decisions that she'll make in the coming days. Father, thank you for your eternal love. Thank you for our Savior. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.